Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Welcome to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, publisher of Aspire Magazine, the premier inspirational magazine for women since 2006. I love having the conversations that I bring you on this show because I truly believe that all women have an innate wisdom to be shared. And when I can circle up and bring you the extraordinary visionary women who are making a difference in the world through their mission, their message, nothing gives me more joy. And today we're going to be talking about intuition, because everyone has intuition, and learning how to maximize it can help us live our best potential in every area of our lives. And today, joining me is Lisa Campion, psychic counselor and Reiki master teacher with over 25 years of experience. She trained more than 1,000 practitioners in the hands-on energy healing practice of Reiki, including medical professionals, and has conducted more than 15,000 individual sessions in her career. Lisa is also the Dean of Students at the Rhys Thomas Institute, a three-year energy medicine school that has trained hundreds of people worldwide in energy medicine. Based near Boston, Mass., she specializes in training emerging psychics, empaths, and healers so they can fully step into their gifts, because right now the world needs all the healers it can get. Lisa is the author of the number one best-selling book, The Art of Psychic Reiki, and is the host of the popular radio show, The Miracle of Healing, on Empower Radio. Lisa and I go back a long time. She'll be speaking at my upcoming Inspired Life Women's event. She is doing amazing work in the world. And Lisa, I am so excited to have you here today.
Oh, thank you, Linda. I'm so pleased to be on the show with you today.
You know, why don't we dive into explaining what Reiki is for those of my listeners who maybe haven't been able to experience or really know what it is?
Sure, yeah, it's a great question. And Reiki is a very gentle but very powerful hands-on healing. It's an energy technique from Japan. And it uses, when you learn it, you learn how to move energy through the body. We can think of it as like acupuncture without needles in a way. And it's very popular these days, so it's gaining popularity, and like all the hospitals in Boston use Reiki. They have Reiki in their complementary and alternative medicine units, so you can go. Like my dad was in and out of Brigham and Women's Hospital this winter, and they have Reiki staff on site where you can call to them and they'll come into your room to do Reiki. So very commonly used for anxiety and depression, for chronic pain. They use it over at Dana-Farber when you're receiving your chemo treatments to help, because it helps with nausea. And it is just very good for general relaxation and wellness too.
So is it hands-on?
It depends. Like the way that I generally do it is hands-on, but it can also be done completely off the body. And Reiki practitioners are trained to work both with their hands on and off the body. And usually we ask, I always ask people, are you comfortable being touched? And then I tend to like to touch my clients. But of course, if somebody's not comfortable with being touched, then we work with our hands off the body. I think that we have like a lack of healthy, non-sexual, nurturing touch in our country, and most people don't get a very much healing touch. And Reiki provides a really beautiful, safe, nurturing way to receive not only a great energy healing, but also that kind of touch.
I think it sounds beautiful. And I'm always curious with my guests is, how did your journey lead you here today? So how did Reiki come into your life? What came before it? What led you here?
Well, I have sort of an unusual and an interesting story that way, because I grew up in right outside of Boston. I grew up in Newton in the 60s and 70s, and I was one of those, like, I see dead people kids. And even from the time I was little, I was seeing things that people weren't seeing and feeling things, knowing things, experiencing things, seeing spirits. And back then there were, like, no psychics on TV. There was, like, no New Age bookstores. There was, like, very little information. And you had to be kind of quiet about it because back in those days, they, you know, like, put you in a mental hospital if you said you were seeing angels and talking to dead people. That's, like, was not a cool thing to do. So I spent a lot of my childhood trying to figure out, up until I was about 20, actually, trying to figure out how to turn it off and to pretend to be normal in public and just act like a normal person, even though I was having all these experiences that I couldn't explain. And then when I was in my 20s, that was like 1982 and sort of the dawn of the New Age, and I started being able to find teachers that would teach me a lot about how to really use the psychic gifts that I have. And so I opened a practice as a psychic when I was 19 years old. I look back on it, I think, oh, my God, how did I do that, or why did I think I could do that? But I just, when you're 19, you think you can do stuff, so I did it. And a few years into that, I studied counseling and psychology because I was delivering the message, and then people would have a reactive cry or they would, you know, need some healing, and I didn't know what to do. So I was like, I wanted to help them in a deeper way, so I studied counseling and psychology. And then after that, I mixed psychic work and counseling together, that is a really beautiful combination. And then 21 years ago, I started really seeing things going on inside the body. I started seeing energy in people's body and moving, and I was like, what is that? And what do I do with it? And I could see it would be all, like, tangled up and kind of gross looking, and I was like, I wanted a way to access that thing what I was seeing. And one of my friends, it was 1999, told me about Reiki and that I should try Reiki. So I studied Reiki, and I learned it pretty quick. I went through all three levels, and very soon after that, I started teaching it. I've taught thousands of people Reiki in the past 20 years, and I teach this very particular kind because I'm a psychic and I teach psychic development, and because I do Reiki, what I noticed was that people who study Reiki often will have an increase in their psychic ability and their intuition and their empath nature will kind of really open in the study of Reiki, and then they need training on that too, so that I combine the two of those things together. That's what I that's how I teach it, and I've been teaching it for years. Then that's why I decided to write the book, The Art of Psychic Reiki, and it's really hit a need. It's really hit a niche for people who find that these things that we do, like Reiki, yoga, and meditation, really activate their empath intuition and psychic abilities and need training around that.
Well, I love how it's so organic that you combined your gifts organically over time mm-hmm. and saw the need. And I think it's amazing that you can see people's energy. Now, I've experienced Reiki, and I remember, God, 20 years ago, taking Reiki 1. I never went further. But now you're, like, reigniting something in me because I believe in the power of energy.
Yeah.
So when you started combining the psychic Reiki, what was some of the insights that you noticed within yourself but also with the people that you were serving?
Well, really what brought me to it was this desire, this belief that I have about who we are as healers, you know. And I think that we're so many people are being called right now. So if you have healer as part of your soul mission, people are waking up to that. They're like knowing that they're here to help people. They're knowing that that's part of what they want to do, and they're looking around for ways to do that. And I think that's really beautiful. So I feel like a big part of my purpose is to train healers, and that when people are studying Reiki, it was really it was frightening them. So I had this student who came to me, and she said, "Oh, Reiki, I learned that years ago, and I kind of want to start doing it again, but I'm afraid of it because, you know, when I started doing it, it like opened up a portal or something. It opened up like a thing, and then all of a sudden my bedroom was filled with spirits, and like ghosts were walking through my living room, and it was freaking me out. So I stepped away from Reiki, and I never went back." And I was like, I started hearing stories like that over and over again, and I was like, wow, that is so unfortunate. Like, the world needs all the healers it can get. This woman is phenomenally talented, and she has an incredible healing practice right now. She helps tons of people, And wouldn't it have been sad if she had totally stopped because she was so afraid of the psychic thing? And people feel overwhelmed or afraid of it, and that's sad to me, you know? So I wanted to create a program, a system, an opportunity to bring those gifts together, because it's so beneficial. If you're a Reiki practitioner or you're a healer, isn't it better for your client if you can tap your intuition and bring your inner knowing to maybe what that client needs? Or isn't it better if you can activate your psychic ability and maybe deliver a message from a loved one? And isn't it better if you really know how to manage your energy as an empath and you can really feel what they're feeling and you know how to handle that? So all of those things, like empathy, intuition, and psychic ability, are all part of the toolkits of a healer.
And it's so important that we have a toolkit, because if we can't maintain our own spiritual health, I guess you can call it energetic health, then that's when the fear comes up, correct? Like that woman experienced those fears. But if we have the tools to be able to manage all of that, that's when we become the empowered healer. That's if right. I heard you correctly.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And so now she came into, like, I don't know, full circle, I guess, and has been able to merge both.
Yeah, so now she works, she has an energy healing practice where she also does, you know, bring in her psychic ability and her knowing, and she's a really good medium, so her mediumship ability, and brings it all to the table to the incredible benefit of her clients. You know, she's like fully activated, fully in her power as a healer. And I think, like, wow, like I look at sort of the ripple effect of all the people in the world that she's helping and how that impact there. And I think how sad it would be if she had never done that. It's really what motivated me to write my book.
Well, I'm so glad that you did too. And we're going to take our first break. When we come back, I want to talk about making the distinction between intuition and psychic, because I've had conversations with, you know, friends, and there's a lot of confusion on what it is.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that when we come back, and we'll be back in a moment. I'm with Lisa Campion, author of The Art of Psychic Reiki. You can learn more at lisacampion.com. We'll be right back.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
It's time to amplify your intuitive superpowers and allow your soul to lead the way. When you hear, trust, and follow your inner wisdom, you'll discover your soul's path, a path that leads to the joyful, authentic, and abundant life you desire and deserve. Master intuitive teacher, coach, and healer, Carolyn McGee, is known as the Angel, Animal, and Intuition Oracle. She has taught thousands of professional, corporate, and entrepreneurial women to trust themselves and their divine intuition so they can show up in their full power in business and in life. With a background of over 20 years in high tech, Carolyn knows firsthand the importance of living from a blend of her masculine and feminine energies. If you're ready to embrace your intuitive superpowers, visit CarolynMcGee.com to learn about Carolyn's supportive programs and offerings.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Hi, everyone. This is Shay Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shea Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Hi, you're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm so glad you're here with us today. I'm here with Lisa Campion, author of The Art of Psychic Reiki. And Lisa, let's talk about the distinction between intuition and psychic, because I know I'm very intuitive and maybe in some ways the psychic, but there's some people that they're really afraid of even hearing the word psychic. They'll say, I'm intuitive, but I don't want to be psychic.
Yeah.
Do you see that a lot?
Yeah, psychic is a word, people, that's very triggering to people, and that a lot of people are afraid of it. They're psychics are bad, psychics are frauds, psychics are, you know, take your money and run. There's psychic hotlines, you know, it's like psychics are, like, you know, bring in spirits, or it's against religion, you know. And, you know, of course there are bad psychics out there, just like in any profession. There are people who are amazing and practice in ethical ways and help people, and there are other people that really don't. So we do, you know, I understand that, but I do think it's important to make the distinction between the two, and at least how I define it is that intuition is our inner knowing. It's our own guidance system that kicks into being, and everybody has that. So it really consists of, and if you know anything about the chakras, it's the lower three chakras. So it consists of the information your body is giving you, how you feel about things, that would be the second chakra, like your emotions, that I have a good feeling or a bad feeling, and then your third chakra, which would be your gut, like I have a gut knowing, like I don't know why I know, I just know. And those things together, your body, your feelings, and your gut, compromise your intuition. And it's really like the way that our own soul guides us through life. You know, we're meant to go towards what our intuition is guiding us to. And oftentimes what happens with people is they get into an argument with their intuition and their mind. So your mind will, you know, tell you things. Like, if, let's say you meet somebody, you're at a party and somebody walks in the room, and your intuition goes off and goes, that's not a person for me. That's a person that's giving me a weird, creepy vibe. Like, I'm not, I don't want to, that doesn't seem right to me. And your body will feel, maybe you feel shivers or cold, or you feel like a weird twisty nausea feeling, and your emotions are like, that doesn't feel right, and your gut's like, no thank you, right? And it can be loud and clear, but your mind will come in and say, Lisa, why are you thinking that? Everybody else likes that person. Like, what's wrong with you? Like, come on, that's not very nice. Like, go over there and be nice, you know? And so we go into this argument, and of course, you know the ending of the story, Linda, right? Intuition will play out to be true, like 99% of the time will go on and your intuition will be proved right. So I feel like there's a huge benefit in learning how to follow our intuition to really get the clues. Like, it's like your soul is dropping you breadcrumbs through your intuition to help guide you on your path. And when we align with our intuition, we tend to create a life that is more soulful and more resonant and meaningful for us.
And that's how I live and lead my life, is following. I love that phrase, the breadcrumbs, spiritual breadcrumbs. That's how I've made every decision in my life over the last 18 years. But what you said, I remember at the beginning, I'd argue with it. Mm-hmm. And then I kept choosing to look for signs that it was right. And I started following those signs, ignoring the voice in my head that said, this is so illogical for you to be doing this, like starting Aspire magazine, right?
Yeah.
I remember
when you did that. I remember that.
Yes.
You told me you were doing that. And, you know, and like, look at where you've gone. Like, your intuition has led you, you know, way farther than your mind would have ever dreamt up for you.
Exactly, and that's the best story I can think of, because I had no publishing marketing, any experience, but I kept hearing, this mag, you got to start this mag, and my logic is like, what the frick do you know about magazine publishing?
Mm-hmm.
But it wouldn't let up, and I decided to trust, and I never knew the next step, but it always revealed itself, so I built my trust muscles up.
It still is, like, you look at you, you're, you know, all these, like,
14 years later,
yeah,
and five brands.
You're still kicking it. You're still expanding your business. You're still, you know, working on the very edge of your own growth and bringing us all these incredible gifts that you do, you know, and that That's what's amazing about living, you know, spirit-led life is really through our intuition, because your mind will never come up with a plan. The mind always aims low. The mind, it's sort of like God's will versus your will, you know, or divine will versus your will. Divine will is how, that's how we feel. We feel that through our intuition. And our personal will always aims low, always, you know, never has the full idea, the full plan. And in a way, also, this is where psychic can help. So psychic is slightly different. Psychic is not your inner intuition, but it's outside guidance. So guidance that comes from outside your system. And that might be your own soul or your angels or your mother-in-law who passed away or whatever our team, and we call these non-physical, helpful spiritual beings guides, you know? And so we all have guides that are around us that are giving us additional support, guidance, help from the spiritual world, because I believe, especially when we step onto the path of our life purpose, you know, the universe meets us halfway, right? And I know that you've experienced that in your in your beautiful life, in your beautiful career. And it meets us halfway by also giving us divine assistance in the form of these guides, angels. And, you know, your guides and angels really also talk to you through the signs and omens you were talking about. So you might have a hit like a, you know, a tummy pull, or wake up with a knowing and being like, okay, now I'm gonna host that event. I haven't done that in a while, but I'm gonna do it this year.
That's, you know, exactly what happened. And I gotta tell you, Lisa, and you'll get this, and I'm sure some of you, if you've been following for a little while, we put our big house on the market and moved into the 400 square foot tiny cottage while we built the house that we just moved into. Mm-hmm. Now, I purged everything, Lisa. When I left that big house, 18 years in that big house, there was not much I could bring into 400 square feet. And here's something that happened in the physical. I opened the drawer that I had been opening for the whole year of being in that tiny cottage. It's where my client files are. I open it, I think it was October. And inside there, and I'm looking at it right now, so I'm freaking out, was the agenda, the print agenda from Love, Light, and Laughter 2008 event. And I said, how the hell did you get here? There's no way this paper should even exist. Wow. It was purged back, but it suddenly appeared in a drawer that I accessed every day for a year. And I said to the divine, I go, I am not doing another event. I know what you're doing. And I do have deep conversations with my spiritual support team. And for a month, I said, forget about it, I'm not doing it. Signs kept coming. People from the past reaching out going, hey, Lynn, you know, I'm circling back. Do you ever do those events anymore? I go, is this a freaking joke? I haven't heard from these people in 10 years. And look what's happening. I'm hosting an event. Because I listened.
I was at that 2008.
Yes, you was. I was just going to tell you because you're in there.
And fantastic.
And thank you. And here's the thing. I could have went into my head of all the reasons I didn't want to step back into inspirational event production, but I know when I'm being led. I listen to the signs and I trust. And in less than 3 weeks since opening the doors to that, 98% of the Divine Marketplace has already been reserved. Mm-hmm. And we have over 35 speakers who've already joined us. Now, as you shared a moment ago, when you teach your clients, when you meet the universe halfway, it says, oh yeah, baby, and it comes and meets us. And that's why I think the work you're doing in the world is so important, because there's so much fear that no one's trusting their own divine guidance.
Right. It's hard, you know, and it is hard. I think it takes some sort of, like, you know, spiritual practice and some paradigm shifting to get away from our desire to be in control, to have a nice, comfortable life, to not live outside a comfort zone, you know, to sort of use our will to arm wrestle life into the shape that we think we want. It's like a control issue we get into with life. And when we do that, we always limit ourselves. We always lower the bar. We always stick inside the comfort zone. And I think part of living a spiritual life is letting that go. And me too, like Linda, you know, I'm like, I get 5 minutes in my comfort zone before I'm leveling up to the next thing, and every time I'm like, oh my God, you want me to do what? You know, and I find that sticking to my self-care and my spiritual practice and my energy management techniques is what, and just having faith really in the process is what allows me to continue to step forward bravely like you do into these things. So I have those same eye roll moments like, oh my God, are you kidding me? You want me to do what? And yet it always works out. It's always beautiful. It's always like, you know, once it's done, I'm like, oh my God, that was so great. I'm so proud of myself for actually following through and doing that. And that's where our guides are a part of that. Like, I love that you said spiritual support team. That's a fantastic term for it.
That's what it feels like to me. And I want to touch on the psychic for a moment too, because there was a time that word 30 years ago, I'm going to be 60, that I had that connotation of like, oh my God, I don't want any of that stuff around me. Mm. Now, and I want to just ask a question because I'm really curious. So what happens to me, and it's happened 3 times in my life, and I want to know if this would fall under psychic, spiritual support team, because I'm still not sure. In the darkest times of my life, it was always at the cusp of a life transformation. Okay. And I'll give you one example. A building was glowing a light blue, and it was on the darkest day of my life. I was suicidal. I wrote about it in one of my first books back in the 90s. And I don't even know how I was driving that day. Suddenly, I see a building glowing blue, like light, like coming from behind it. That's the best way I can describe it. And the car just pulled in. And I happened to walk into an office. I just sat down in this poor woman's office. I don't know how she didn't go crazy. Like, who is this stranger sitting in my office chair? And it came to be that she was a therapist for the exact childhood trauma that I had suffered.
Wow.
Now, that's happened 3 times in my life. Would that be psychic? Because it was an outside thing, the blue light, that led me there?
Absolutely.
What would you call that?
I would say that's a psychic experience.
Okay.
And a spiritual experience too, you know. So it's like we use our psychic ability to experience non-ordinary states of reality, you know, or non-ordinary activities, or sort of the liminal world, where we, in that moment, you needed an intervention from your support team. They needed to throw you a lifeline. You know, and sometimes when we're in those states of depression or anxiety, we're in a little bit of an altered state. And then, you know, that it's like they really had to like whack you up, you know, on the side of your head so that you got the message, or it was so you couldn't miss it, you know. And I do think that that our guides are there to help us during those times. Your psychic ability allowed you to perceive that. So psychic ability is really about perception and opening up the way that we perceive to more. I love actually the old phrase ESP to explain psychic, extrasensory perception, because we're always perceiving through our 5 senses, and really what psychic is allowing us to perceive more than other people. Like, I think psychics like allow their brains to take in, or their our sensory apparatus to take in more information than other people do. So I perceive energy around people. I perceive spirits. And in that moment, you perceived the blue light around the building because that was what you needed to do for the next stage of your healing.
Yeah, it's something, I mean, I can still bring it back right in the moment. Like I said, it's happened 3 times, and I always wondered what was leading it. But here's what's funny is I believed it and trusted it and never doubted it. Like, I knew I was being led. And now I look back and see all the times my spiritual support team was directing my life, even when I couldn't. So when we come back from our next break, one of the things I want to talk about is empaths, right? I have a grandson and a granddaughter, both. One's 20, one's 8. Both empaths, both very sensitive. And I'd love to talk about that. What is an empath and why they need extra help? I think, especially right now, this new generation coming in.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, so I can't wait to dive into this. So we'll be back in a moment. I'm with Lisa Campion. You can learn more about all the amazing work she's doing in the world and her new book, The Artist Psychic Reiki, at lisacampion.com. We'll be back in a moment.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Are you being called to step into your truth and embrace your divinity? Are you ready to align your heart and soul, live an authentic life, and become a divine magnet for love and abundance? It's time to listen to your inner wisdom and clear the blocks holding you back from your best life. Leading intuitive prosperity coach, Akashic Records practitioner, and evidential medium, Jamie Hearn of liveyourdivinity.com, empowers and supports spiritual women like you to align your inner and outer worlds, embrace your soul's truth, and live your divinity. Through her intuitive gifts, grounded wisdom, and empowered coaching, Jamie guides women back into sacred alignment with their truth. Visit liveyourdivinity.com to learn more about Jamie's empowering programs and to schedule an Akashic Record reading.
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on OM Times Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and theshelterpetproject.org.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. So, Lisa, empaths, right? I realize now I am one, have always been one, but I truly now can say I identify as one. And now I'm watching the younger generations come in, and I have a 20-year-old grandson who I knew from the time he was three, and an 8-year-old granddaughter. Are you noticing that the generation, and there's an age difference there, 20 and 8, are you noticing the next generations coming up of empaths are even more heightened awareness, but also extremely sensitive?
Yes, absolutely. So, absolutely. And every generation that's born seems to be more sensitive and empathic than before. But let's talk about just the definition for that for a minute, in case people haven't heard it. And an empath, in the way that I define it, is like a psychic sponge in a way. So it's one of the psychic gifts. But it's almost like we could say that empath is almost like a sub, you know, kind of a sub personality or a certain type of person that's, it's like its own little species in a way. And, you know, it came out in the 90s, like the highly sensitive person was sort of the first inkling we had that maybe there's a difference here. And empaths are people who are so emotionally sensitive and energetically sensitive that they feel other people's emotions as if they're their emotions, or they feel what's going on in other people's body, in their body. Like if you have a headache and I sit next to you and I put my hands on you, I might get your headache. I might feel your headache in my body. And if you were sad, then I would feel sad myself, which is, it's like a sponge, you know, like sucking up other people's energy and experiences. And it's tricky because it seems like a giant, terrible curse. It's like very difficult for people, empaths, to be in the world and be around other people until they learn how to manage their sensitivity, which is something that I work a lot with people on. Once you learn to manage your sensitivity, then we can understand that those gifts are absolutely 100% the gifts of healers. It's like having a built-in MRI x-ray machine. So when you're working with somebody, you can feel what they're feeling in their emotions, in their body, or even sometimes what they're thinking as a way to assist them as a healer. They are the gifts of the healer. And that's so important to remember, because otherwise it just feels like a terrible curse that we don't know what to do with.
It's so funny that you said it, because my grandson, like I said, he's going to be 20. I just said to him the other day, you've always been sensitive. And it doesn't mean it's a curse. It means that you were chosen to be a healer, to have compassion and empathy for others who are going through what you have gone through. And he feels like he, as
just tapping into all that. And his words were, if that's true and it feels so true, then I finally have a purpose.
That's right.
Right. And yeah. So we've been really having deep diving spiritual conversations, and I'm getting them books. How about the younger ones? Like my granddaughter, who I, on social media we call hashtag little goddess.
Mm-hmm.
She is extremely sensitive, and when she was young could see, you know, like, hey, don't touch my doll. And the mother, you know, my daughter runs in there and she's protecting a doll from the stranger in the room that only she could see, you know.
Yep.
So how do you work with someone young so they don't struggle, as my grandson did, navigating the energies they feel?
Well, it's young or old, it's all the same, really. Like, and there are plenty of people now, even people our age, who are waking up to the fact that they have this. And every empath needs the same basic training, which is learning. It's these energy management basics. We need to learn how to manage our energy. And because we're a sponge, and it's super hard to be in the world as a sponge. So there's really three or four basic things that we have to do. We have to learn how to stay grounded and connected to the earth. Empaths, when they get overstimulated and when the sponge is full, we go into something called empathic overload. And you get knocked out of your body, you get overwhelmed, you get sick, you get cranky, you know, tired. And it happens to me like 20 minutes into Market Basket.
Oh, yeah.
Or 20 minutes into the mall at shopping, you know, season at Christmas. Like, you know that feeling. You're like, oh, man, like you just got hit by a train. That's empathic overload. And in order to avoid that and to heal from that, we have to stay grounded. We have to stay in our body. So we need grounding practices. We need to – I use a breath technique to really breathe into my body and push energy down my legs and connect consciously to the energy of the earth and stay grounded and centered. That's the first thing. The second thing is we need to learn how to clear the energy that we pick up from other people. And this is – you can modify this to what your 20-year-old grandson and your little goddess, and you just want to put it into words that are – you know, concepts and words that she would understand. But basically, clearing is squeezing the sponge. So if you picked all this stuff up, we have to squeeze the sponge. We have to release the energy that we picked up. I, again, use a breathing technique to, you know, breathe energy into my heart and my belly and consciously sort of flush any extra energy I have down the grounding cord into the earth with a little prayer that the earth can compost it. So we need that. And then the last thing is we need to protect. We need to shield. And that's really strengthening the bubble that we all have. Our energy fields all end in a bubble on the outside, unless you're an empath and you have a sponge on the outside. So with some visualization techniques or mindfulness, like you just imagine, pretend, or visualize that the outer edge of your field is like a solid, you know, more like a bubble, and you and everything that's you is on the inside of the bubble, and the world is on the outside of the bubble, and nothing can cross your boundary without your permission. Now we're managing our energy. Now we can go about, and like I just, you know, said, my dad's been in the hospital, so I've been in the hospital a lot this winter, which is a really hard environment for me. And then before I go in there, I do this. I sit in my car and I'm like, okay, ground, breathe, clear the sponge, squeeze the sponge, put shields on full, put my full protection on, you know, and I go into the hospital and I'm like, okay, this is intense, but I'm in my bubble. It's all right. And then when I leave, I do the same thing before I drive anywhere, before I redo those things. I do those things in between clients in my office. And when we get good at it, and it becomes second nature, then we have a way to manage ourselves so we can fully participate in the world in the ways that we're meant to do, that we're really meant to participate in the world.
I love the idea of the bubble, because I do have taught her one for going to sleep at night to pull Archangel Michael, and she picks a bubble and she adds sparkles and she gets to decorate it basically when she does it. But she loves the feeling of it. So, yeah, I could do that with her. For during the day too, but I love what you said about squeezing the sponge, because it's so visual, and I'm a very visual person, so I could see it like, oh, let's get all this other energy out of us. So those are three powerful strategies that you use with your clients and also teach at in your work.
Yeah, Absolutely, yeah. And I have a little free gift for you guys too. If you go onto my website, you can get a free 4-hour class called Energy Management for Empaths. That it teaches these things really, because I feel so strongly on helping people not suffer the way, you know, we don't have to suffer, and we do until we learn these things. It's something everyone should know, and just no one's been taught how to manage their energy. And, you know, the other thing, when we get that done, we need to work a little bit more on boundaries, how to say no, how to set boundaries, how to, you know, there's another layer that we do after this, the basic energy management, that's a little bit more advanced. But once you learn how to manage your actual energy field, it's like you have a leg to stand on. You know, like you have a foundation to stand on that you can do these other things that require a little more study.
Well, that's what the other thing I was going to say, too, is I noticed with the boundaries that the real sensitives, like I've worked on myself for 25 years, so I guess I have my boundaries, my energetic boundaries. I'm very firm in them because I know, and I just did a group call today. I said, listen, your sacred gift to the world is managing your own energy. And you have to manage your energy in order to heal, lead, thrive in your own life. But also, you know, you create a ripple effect with your energy. But one of the things that I see with some of the empaths in my life, including the little ones I just told you, is this deep desire to almost put others before themselves, that at a cost to themselves.
Yeah.
And I know that's because of that deep desire. How do you shift that in a young person before it becomes a lifetime? You know, you shared the energy protection, but the boundaries is the big thing of where they end and someone else begins.
That's right. And that, it all comes from the desire to serve, since all empaths are healers. And
yes,
we can really feel other people's pain. You know, we also, empaths tend to be magnets for people who are needy, who need things, who, like, it's like you're minding your own business in the supermarket and the little old lady comes up to you and tells you her whole life story in the, you know, frozen food section, because there's light about you. You're glowing in a way. You have this beautiful heart that, and people who are tuned in can see, and compassion sort of radiating out of you. That's a very normal state for an empath. And when you don't have a boundary, an energetic boundary and sort of like a verbal boundary, then you can become a magnet for everyone and their brother who needs healing. Healers attract people who need healing. And so I think it's super important to honor that we need to be in choice about that, that we have a choice about that. So I choose to deal with, to work with my clients, with my family, with my friend. Like, I'm not going to maybe engage with every single person who's walking down the street, because I can't. And neither can you, you know. And I love, love, love what you said about people's sacred gift, because it's hard for empaths to really get their heads around this, but we are all responsible for managing our own energy. No one can do it for you. No one should do it for you. It's incredibly empowering for sensitive people to learn the truth of that and to learn some really good skills, because then we can go out into the world not expecting somehow empaths expect that everyone is like they are, and everyone should know that they're tired, or everyone should tune into them the way they tune into everybody else, that they don't really want to talk to you right now. And then they get very, they can feel very victimized, actually, and by this life, this world that seems like it's out to get them. And that's not actually true. It's, the world isn't out to get you. It's just drawn to you. It's attracted to you. It's, you know, magnetized to your beauty and your light. And we are totally responsible. No one is going to set your boundary for you, except for you. And everyone out in your life has an agenda that you, it's better for them if you have a terrible boundary and you're giving more energy. They're like, yeah, I keep doing that. So we have to train our people to respect our boundary. And even little kids can be trained that way. Little kids, like, you know, can be taught that, your granddaughter can be taught that her heart is a beautiful gift and she can choose who she's going to share that with, that she, it's beautiful for her to feel compassion. Maybe you teach her some prayer, you know, how to pray for people, or how to send people energy when she sees her little friend who's suffering and in pain. She doesn't have to dive in there and fix it. She could just pray for them, or she could send Reiki, or she could put them in light, you know, and that's how they can engage in keep their hearts open in compassion. They engage with people without, like, giving them a pint of blood, you know?
Exactly. And you know, for all of us, that was, I think it was the most important thing that I learned in my own journey is it doesn't have to be at the cost to myself.
Right.
And so,
you're not actually doing anyone any favors if it's the cost to yourself. You know, it's like that, you know, we drink from our own teacup, but we serve people from the saucer. You know, that we have to be full. We have to have a full cup, a full, you know, energy. I think about it in terms of, and I talk about this in my book, in terms of your energy tank. Like, we have a limited supply of energy in our energy tank, just like you have a limited supply of gas in your gas tank. Spend the gas, you drive the car around, you go to fill the tank again. We don't expect our car to drive without that, but we often expect ourselves to do that. So a big part of learning energy, and I'm writing a new book now. It's called Energy Healing for Empaths.
I know. I'm so excited.
How to Live Your Sensitivity Like It's Your Superpower. And it's coming out. It's with the publisher now. It'll be coming out in this time next year. And it's really this whole topic that we're talking about, you know, how to manage energy. And I like that gas tank analogy. So, you know, even your granddaughter, you can explain that to, that she needs to fill her tank and really think, like, what fills your tank, what fills her tank. So we're giving on a full tank, and we never let our tank get empty. And then we can avoid all of the problems that we get later on. If we don't do that, we get burned out, we blow our adrenal glands, we get sick. We get, you know, we blow our nervous system, you know, we have health issues and depression, anxiety. We have a whole raft of problems we can avoid if we learn how to keep the tank full and give from that place.
And I can't wait for that book, your current book, The Art of Psychic Reiki, I'm giving my grandson because I think it will really help him understand himself. I mean, he's yearning for all of this information. So we've been having beautiful, deep conversations. He's always been able to go deep. Now it's at an accelerated pace. So there's no accident that we have that today's show happens to be like 24 hours after my recent conversation with him, and I'm trying to teach him how his energy is his responsibility. He's not a victim to the energy that people bring him.
Right.
And like you said, they can see the light. They know. Mm-hmm. And he has to do his part to protect himself so he can love and serve them if that's what he desires to do.
Yeah, I think empaths are really the old souls of the planet, you know. And empaths, like, we come onto this planet to learn compassion and empathy, you know. And then the baby knows, this is my theory, I don't know if it's true, but my theory is that this planet is like a nursery school planet for warrior souls, for the fighters, and it's sort of like Game of Thrones, you know, down here, and that's really fun for people that have a warrior soul, and like, think most people, like 70% of the people here on the planet have this sort of warrior nature, and they come, we're fighters, you know, and we come here to have these experiences that open our heart and help us learn empathy and compassion. So the more empathic and compassionate a person is, the longer they've been down here on the planet. And those old soul types, you know, really want to help the, you know, people that are coming up behind us. And we're here to serve them. We're here to help them. We're here to be of service in that way. So I think it's a beautiful dance we have with people if we know how to manage ourselves.
It's so true, and I've had to learn myself. And I remember, God, way back, I produced a show for John Holland, Colette, and Maureen Hancock way before they were known as they are now. Mm-hmm. So God, we got to be 14 years ago. And Colette recently told me, after all these years, she says, I remember the day you walked into the room. Your aura was so big it couldn't get in the doors. And I knew that you were going to create magic in this world. Mm-hmm. And it's like we just reconnected like 7 months ago. Okay. And I said to her, well, what does that mean? She said, it just means some people have a large energy field, but if they don't learn how to, what you said, Lisa, hold the energy of the boundary around it, mm-hmm. then it becomes permeable.
Yep.
So a lot of people ask now, you know, Linda, how can you do 4-day work weeks and still run 4 brands and stay grounded in the way that they see me? And I said, because I had to learn the hard way and not listen about the cost when I don't manage my own energy.
Yeah.
You know, you've experienced it too, right?
Absolutely.
Like those moments when we forget, and we're human, so we do. And I'm one of those, I tell my clients, listen, there was a time I tell them that the divine would like flick me on the ear like, hey, hey, yeah, you know, you're forgetting. And of course, I just, swipe my ear going, I got this. And then they'd give the little tap on the head, and I still wouldn't listen. I'd wait for the cosmic 2x4.
Mm.
So now I say, I don't want any more cosmic 2x4s. I'm going to monitor my energy. That's how I've been allowed to serve, I think, at this level, energetic level. Have you found the same to be true for you, that as you monitored your own energy, the life that you wanted to create was able to come to you?
Absolutely. And I'm diligent about those things. It's almost like my first priority is my spiritual and psychic self-care in a way, you know. So I'm really always minding my boundary, always leaning into my my spiritual practices, my meditation, and I know what I need to do to keep my own tank full, and I make that the first priority, because if I do that, then I have like almost like boundless energy for the work that I'm doing. You know,
that's like how I feel, because I never feel like it's work. I feel like it's just flowing through me.
Me too.
But when life happens and I forget, I'm able to recalibrate a lot quicker now. I'm like, oh, what's this feeling in my body? Ah, shit, you forgot your morning practice.
That's right.
Or your green drink, or whatever it may be. But
you need a nap today, or, you know.
Oh, yeah, I love my naps.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so, you know, I'm in the flow of the work, and I'm doing it. And when I can't, then I go for a walk. I do some yoga. I take a nap. I, you know, meditate. I read books, or I get in my tubby. I walk, you know, walk around outside, and until my tank is full again. And I think filling the tank is a lot of times it's rest and self care, but it's also play. So I think people really underestimate the value of play. Just doing things for fun really, really restores the tank, and also creative things, dancing, singing, drawing, painting. I like ballroom dancing. So like for me, dancing is so filling the tank. And then if I keep my tank full, I just have endless energy for what I'm doing, the work that I am doing.
Well, you shared so many powerful strategies today. I want to invite everyone again, before we come to a close, to visit lisacampion.com to claim Lisa's free gift. And repeat the name of that gift again, Lisa?
It's called Energy Management for Empaths.
And take advantage of that. Why struggle? Turn to Lisa, go visit her website, grab a copy of her book, The Art of Psychic Reiki, because you don't have to do this alone. There's others who have already walked the path ahead of you, and Lisa is one of the, you know, expert teachers in this. Allow her to support you. And Lisa, I want to thank you for being here today, for sharing your wisdom with my audience. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you so much, Linda. And I'm so happy and proud of you. And I'm so happy for the work that you're doing in the world and really helping other people bring their beautiful gifts to the world. So, right back at you, honey.
Oh, you're welcome. Until next time, everyone, choose love, choose joy, choose happiness. Blessings, my friends.
Thanks for listening to Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. Join our sacred space every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern and meet leading female visionaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. Inspired Conversations with Linda Joy is a soulful venue where guests share the obstacles they've overcome, along with wisdom and lessons learned on their personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic and soulful living.